Blog Talk Radio.
What did you say before we went on the air, Katie? Here we go again.
Yep, our guest isn't here.
That's okay. We'll be all right. We always are. This is Elizabeth and Katie live with the Best Ever You show. I'm trying to hire somebody to give us a great intro, you know, like live from our living room. It's
in our sweatpants.
Live in our fashionable sweatpants and living rooms. It's Elizabeth.
Hey, at least they match.
What'd you say?
At least they match.
Exactly.
And we have those great fashionable shoes that we got, too.
Oh, I love those. Those clogs.
Yes.
I wish I could pronounce the name. Is it just FloJo's? It just sounds like it is.
That sounds right.
I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever, yes. You know. FloJos. Clogs.
Right.
They're from
right.
Heaven. We both
yeah.
have a pair, and yeah. Today's, I guess, what do we have to say? We have to tell everybody to vote.
Yes, absolutely. Vote your conscience, yes.
Yeah, although I said today's, never mind, I won't say it. Well, maybe I will. I said today was sponsored by the word doofus. The whole entire day. I don't know, but use it sparingly or whatever. What if, you know. Oh, boy, politics. I'm not even going there. Anyway,
no,
so how's your
there.
Sugar? No, I'm not. How's your sugar coma?
Oh, terrible. Everybody's tired. Everybody's cranky and tired from all the sugar from Halloween. We do this thing in our house where for 24 hours when we have a holiday, because we don't usually eat candy any other time, is when on special occasions we allow Callie 24 hours to eat whatever she wants during the holiday, and then she's done. Then the candy gets put away, and we're back to normal. And so we do sugar coma on holidays. It's really crazy. But actually, it works fine, because then she knows that she can have it whenever she wants on holidays, and she doesn't seem to actually use it that way. So it's kind of a mind game we play with her. Works great.
Now, are you guys the family that hides the candy, sells the candy, eats the candy? Where do you fall in that mix?
Well, since we go back to balanced eating after the 24 hours, what we do is we put the candy away out of sight, out of mind, and then she gets one piece a day, but usually that only lasts for a few days because she's not a candy eater, and then eventually she just loses interest, and I either give it away or throw it away or sell it.
Yeah.
But usually
yeah,
I end
people,
up throwing it away or giving it away.
I used to send it to the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here you go. Have a nice day, honey. Take all the candy with you. Bye. Oh, that's terrible. But this was a strange Halloween for us because our kids are getting a little bit bigger. So at 9, 11, 13, and 15, you know, it's not like having little tiny kids where, you know, they're going to be a Power Ranger or something like that. You know, one of them wanted to wear a shirt that said, "This is my costume."
Yes.
The other one just wanted a mask on. And then all of a sudden, coming out of left field, the kids got into it, and we had a hippie with a fro and a whole hippie thing going on. That was the 11-year-old. And then we had an alien. And so we trick-or-treated our neighborhood, and then we went over to another neighborhood where the neighborhood is known for giving out full-size candy bars.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't it fun to be a kid where the only thing you have to worry about is which house gives out the full-size candy bars?
Right, the biggest candy. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Or what kind or something like that. But, yeah, anyway. Yeah, you don't want
to Well, we always treat the older kids in our neighborhood because whatever is left over from us, we put it in a big bowl and we leave it out on our front step for the older kids to come at the end of the night and take it away.
Yeah, we did that too this year, but... Yeah, you don't want to be that house that gives out the Kool-Aid or the apple. Or
no.
Yeah, my kids
no.
came home and said, yeah, somebody gave out pencils. Sorry. What kind of stuff? I'm like, be appreciative of your pencil. Don't knock it. You know, you might need it. I don't know. So, okay, so we don't have a guest.
All right. Well, we can talk
here.
About fashion.
Yeah.
We sit here in our matching sweatpants and clogs and our fashionable daily attire for the work-at-home moms. Tina O has a wonderful...
I think that's a great plan.
Yeah. Tina O has a wonderful line, and I was actually really... Oh, I love some of her clothes. Very simple, very practical, very affordable. And so we can talk about fashion, and people can call in if they want. And we can talk about the dilemma of where do you wear fashion when you're a working home mom? What does it mean, fashion? Anyway, I mean, does that mean?
This is going to be our interpretation.
Yes, okay.
Oh, fashion, okay.
This ought to be good.
Oh, yeah. Let me just roll up my fashionable sleeves here a little bit. You know. Okay, let's start with real fashion.
Yes.
Whenever I think of real fashion, my head goes in this little snit. And that's because, to me, real fashion means expensive, and it means dressing up, generally. You know, generally speaking, you're a little dressed up.
Right.
And it always, to me, especially if there's a dress associated with it, it always means some type of cinching, uncomfortable, ugly undergarment. Okay, so what's your interpretation of fashion?
Yeah, suck it in and suck it up. Yes, that's usually what I think of when I think of fashion. One thing that I really enjoyed when we went to the Matrix Awards is the different kinds of fashion that were there. And one thing that was really, I learned a lot from looking around at the women there. And, of course, the celebrities were dressed to the nines, but they weren't dressed in something that somebody else wouldn't wear. They were very appropriate. They were dressed in something that somebody could wear around here in Maine. And
that really surprised me.
And I think that what made it fashionable is their accessories, the fact that everything was neat and tidy. I mean, you know, they didn't show up in a wrinkled skirt. And things were simplistically beautiful. And so I learned a lot that day about, you know, fashion doesn't have to be complicated. As long as it really looks nice, put together, then it can be, and it's appropriate. I think it can be fashionable. That's my interpretation, anyway. What do you think?
Well, I think that's really good information, because I remember kind of thinking that same thing when we were there, that nobody was in a ball gown, and I don't think fashion is a ball gown. The other thing where I deviate from fashion in my non-probably professional fashion self is, you know, the fashion magazines really freak me out. I get a fashion magazine in my house, and I really do sit there and go, I'm not as pretty, I'm not as skinny, I'm not as young, there's no way I can afford that in a million years. How in the world does a 300-page fashion book come in, and is anybody in a real place supposed to relate to that? I can't figure out how some of the magazines are geared to, maybe they're not, maybe I've outgrown them, I don't know, but it seems they're overwhelming to me. My head really spins when I get a fashion magazine, because I really do sit there and go, there's no way in the world I'm ever going to look like that, fit into that. My skin doesn't look like that, my legs don't look like that, my chest doesn't look like that, nothing about me looks like that. And I can never apply those fashion pages and everything to my real life.
Right. Yeah. I know. I share that, too. I think I enjoy looking at them because they're just intriguing. And it's wonderful that some women can actually wear some of that. And I try to find what applies to me, and colors and style and kind of general ideas. But it's one of the reasons I really liked Tina O's work, is because it's applicable to everybody. Anybody can wear it and wear it well. And that, I think, to me, you know, I think more people are starting to recognize that the real woman out there, they're starting to understand that we're not, you know, that size zero all these Lady Gaga-like accessories. I keep thinking of Lady Gaga when we're talking about this stuff. You know, some of the fashions that hit the runway are, my goodness, if I ever wore them, somebody'd have me committed. It is intriguing how they, who they market to.
Yeah, I don't know who it is, because, you know, when I get some of the stuff, you know, in the house, and I buy it for the same reason you do. You know, you take what you can from it, or, you know, you apply some things, you know, you see, okay, that's out of style, or that's in, or whatever, you know, as best you can, I agree. But, yeah, I just completely agree that some of the stuff out there is just strange.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it, but strange. It's like, there's no way at my, you know, as I'm dropping off my four kids at, you know, school in the morning, I'm going to be showing up, you know, with, you know, 5-inch heels and leather pants on, you know, in my, you know what I mean? It just doesn't, you know, in Maine, it's just not how we dress here, I guess. I don't know. I guess it depends on the function, but in an everyday life, I often wonder if those fashion magazines, if the clothing in there is geared toward everyday life, or if it's geared towards special occasions, or how people separate that out in their head so they don't get confused.
Well, they're also not geared toward Maine. You know, they're geared toward...
They sell the magazines in Maine, so I think they're... You know, and you know, that's all over the world, though. I mean, I'm sure moms in Minnesota, Wyoming, Texas, and so forth are in the same thing. They're looking at some of the magazines coming in going, yeah, that's great if I have an event to go to, and even then I'm not going to spend $2,500 on a dress.
Yeah, good point.
You know, that's what I loved about Tina O, too, because her dresses. I love the fact that you can go to a website and have a dress made to your specifications.
Mm.
I really love that.
Yep,
when our winner, when the winner won on Best Ever You yesterday, she was just tickled that her name is Lynn Cross. She was just tickled that, you know, the dress was going to be handmade for her, according to her measurements. I think that's really neat that Tina does that.
I do too. Well, you know, let's talk about another aspect of fashion, and that's being a mother. What do we teach our kids about fashion? I mean, I have a daughter, and she's choosing her own fashion now and is very fashion conscious and likes to design. So where do we draw the line when she starts designing things like she sees in a magazine or on TV that are not age appropriate? And, you know, it's the whole idea of what is age appropriate and where do you start to change that age when it's a little girl, and when does she start to wear things that are a little more adult or a little less childish? And it is a really fine line. And what their role models are wearing on Disney Channel, et cetera, sometimes pushes the limit. So what do you think about that? You have boys,
mom,
so you don't have that.
Yeah, I have boys, but I grew up in a household of, you know, I don't know, even I'd have to stop and count how many girls we had. There were at least 10 kids at all moments, so and most of them girls. But my mom had really serious rules for all of us. We couldn't get our ears pierced till a certain age. We definitely couldn't wear nylons until we were 13. You couldn't, you know, the schools have rules, too, where you can't, you know, show your midsection or can't have on open-toed shoes and things like that. So sometimes the school sets some of the standards, too, but... You know, I don't know. I have the good fortune of having boys there. They throw on anything. Boys are so easy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean it. Oh, gosh. It's like, give me my sweatpants and my Levi's and my Nike shirt and out the door we go. And they wear tennis shoes all the time.
Yep.
So,
that is
easy.
They don't have bad hair day meltdowns.
No, nothing. Their hair. The worst that happens in our house is somebody wakes up with funny bedhead, and in boy hair, that means there's like one hair sticking up in the back of their head or something like that. But you know, I wonder what do you think you do with girls, especially at that age? What's the right thing to do with girls? And you know, because you could easily have a nightmare on your hands with, you know, the way kids dress these days. days. My goodness.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one more thing. I can remember being about 16 years old probably, and I came downstairs dressed for a date. It was one of the first dates I had, and I was in a mini skirt and boots, and it was the 80s, so you looked like Madonna going out the door. And I said, "Dad, what do you think of my outfit?" And he looked at me, and he raised his eyebrow, and he said, "It's not an outfit I would picture one of my daughters wearing."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, boy. See you later, you know. So you've got that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and, you know, we came up with Halloween costume, too. It's like you walk into a Halloween store, and there's all different levels of Halloween costumes. So, I mean, we certainly are not going to let her dress anything where she's suggestive at all. But she likes short skirts, and she likes to wear things. And we kind of have a rule of thumb of having to cover certain parts, and that's just the way it is. And I actually have had this conversation with her. I said, you know, as you get older, you're going to want to take more risks. And here's the bottom line. There's certain things I'm never going to let you do until you turn 18 and you're out of my house. So just get used to it. Here's what they are. And I laid them out. And I said, these are the things you're never going to be able to do out of this house. And she actually was like, okay. And I said, okay, yeah. Remember that when you're 16 and you want to do this. And I say, no. So I'm kind of laying the groundwork now thinking maybe that'll help. But we'll see.
Yeah,
well, we'll have those fights, I'm sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not degreed in the same kind of field you are. But one thing I noticed is role modeling, and role modeling seems to me anyway, in, you know, to be very, very important in just about everything. Kids seem to really imitate what their parents do, whether it's
absolutely
drinking, smoking, drugs, where, you know, they just, they're little imitators. And
right.
So, you know, not that if I was walking around in a mini skirt and a bikini top, my boys would, but, you know, if I had girls and I walked around with nothing on, you know, they'd probably think that's acceptable and know nothing else.
Right.
So I think a lot, almost, I don't know, I'm starting to, my older age I seem to think that a lot of it has to do with your parents and how you're raised and what your role models are. And just everything.
Yeah, I agree. Because you know what? You gave me such grief for wearing scarves because you told me I was dressing like an old lady. Well, Callie wears them all the time now. And she looks really stylish. And I'm like, well, how come she can wear them and I can't? You know?
Yeah. That's funny. Now, did anybody in your life wear scarves before?
Oh, God, no. No. My mom was not a detailed accessorizer by any means. I always wear them just because they're fun to wear with different colors, and they add color and accessory to your outfit. But anyway, so she now wears them all the time, too.
Yeah, my mom, in fact, Katie, I can hear my mom saying, take the scarf off, because, you know, my mom was always dressed to the beautifully, impeccably, actually. I do not remember my mom ever wearing jeans.
Wow.
She's from an era, you know, her mom never wore jeans. She's from that era of the, you know, where girls had suits on and dresses, and only recently have I ever seen my mom really in a pair of jeans, and even then I think she has to not be feeling well. My mom's always in heels and a suit. Always.
Wow.
Beautiful jewelry, everything. My mom is absolutely impeccable. So I don't know where my sweatpants come from. So maybe I have to take my role modeling back. I don't know. That's probably the mom. The mom and me, where you get so tired, you're like, oh, just give me some sweatpants.
Well, and it also, because we're at home and no one's around, so except the cats. So, you know. Oh,
yeah. Your phone's
breaking
up.
Last night. Oh, okay.
What did you say?
I said I had the most horrible experience last night. Both of our cats got outside in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
So I had to go crawling outside in the middle of the night, chasing these two cats, trying to get them in before the coyotes made them coyote bait. And
oh, yeah.
It was so scary. I mean, I'm out in the dark with a flashlight going, here, kitty, 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 trying not to wake up the whole neighborhood. It was quite the challenge. And finally, I got one in, and then the other one, the kitten, was just trying to get in, but she couldn't figure out how, so I had to wake everybody up and get them to come out and help me. So we finally got him in about 1 a.m. Oh, jeez.
That's way funny. Well, sort of funny.
Well, yeah, I was fashionable with my boots and my nightgown and my coat and my flashlight. And it would have been a real thing for the neighbors to see that. That would have been hysterical. But anything for the kitten.
Curlers. So why did the cats get out?
The front door blew open from the wind.
Oh.
So we got to get it fixed. But anyway, it was quite the challenge. But they got in, and they're happy, and everyone's happy, and it was quite the adventure. Another mommy moment.
I know. We all have those. I was trying to think of what we did yesterday. I don't know. I had Quade home sick for last week, pretty much the whole week, and we watched How to Train Your Dragon like it was in a loop. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, that's a cute movie. A very, very cute movie. But he just kept watching it over and over and over again. I don't know why, to memorize it maybe. But and then one of the dragons is named Night Fury. And whenever anybody in the village sees Night Fury, everybody goes, get down. And so for 2 days after that, he would be like, Night Fury, calling it out in the house. And everybody would go, get down. And oh, yeah. And then he went to try and be a dragon for Halloween. And, oh, yeah. But no cat. Yeah, you know. Kids.
That's
so totally funny.
That is funny.
All right. We have, what do we have? We have 40 minutes left to talk. Katie, what do you want to talk about?
Gosh, I don't know. So what do you think is going to happen with the election today?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. So I have to go on record and say what I actually think about politics?
Okay. No, you don't.
I'll tell you what Quade said, and this will speak volumes. I'll put it in somebody else's words.
Okay.
So Quade, he's 9 years old, and he's in the bathroom, and he's reading the newspaper in the bathroom. I have no idea why, but, you know, we knock on the door. Quade, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm just reading the newspaper, trying to figure out who I'm going to vote for governor. I'm like, no way. No, I'm not kidding either. And so he comes out of the bathroom and he goes, here's what he said. He goes, to be honest, they all kind of suck like that. And I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, I wouldn't vote for any of these guys. And so what do you do when a 9-year-old says, you know, I wouldn't vote for any of these people?
Yeah, I know. Well, where did they get that from, though? That's what I'm wondering. Is that because he's reading it or he's hearing it somewhere at school or if he's hearing it at home? I mean,
no,
I don't know.
No. You know what happened? And Tina is on the line, so hang on, Tina.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay.
He was really hooked on Elliot Cutler. I mean, just absolutely, you know, Dad and I are going in the booth tonight and voting for Elliot Cutler. And then a negative ad came on. And Quade said, well, gosh darn it, he's bad too now. And it's very interesting how that one ad
made a 9-year-old
shift. Yeah, and then he came back when he saw the better ad about Elliot. It was just very funny. But what I like about that is he's perceptive to the world around him at 9 years old. I think it's pretty neat that my 9-year-old can name the three people who, you know, three main people who are running for governor today in the state of Maine. I mean, not a lot of 9-year-olds can do that.
That is pretty good. That really speaks volumes. Oh,
and
we
Tina,
should get
worry,
Tina O on here.
Yeah, you're not in a political thing here. We were just trying to sort of figure out what to say. How are you? I think she's there. Tina?
Hello?
Oh, it's not Tina.
No, it's not.
Line.
It's
Tina's
Anthony. It's Tina's publicist for the line. I am so sorry, you guys, but I can't. For some reason, she's AWOL.
Oh, that's all right.
But I didn't want to leave you guys hanging, so I thought if you guys still wanted to talk about the line, I'm the publicist for the line, I can actually talk about it with you.
Great.
Well, We would love that.
We would love that.
I am.
Yeah,
so
everyone.
Sorry.
This is. Yeah, no, it's okay. You know, I think we were just so tickled to have her participate with Best Ever You and be able to feature her on the website and be able to give away one of our giveaway address to one of our readers. We were flooded with thousands and thousands and thousands of entries.
Awesome.
And yeah, and yesterday we put all the entries in a box, and my husband drew the winner, and it happened to be a winner from Cape Elizabeth, Maine, by the name of Lynn Cross. And so that was great. She was all excited and everything.
Great, and we're excited. We're actually excited to get a dress out to her, and she will be the best dressed gal anywhere she goes.
Well, everyone's fascinated by the fact that you can order a dress from WannaWear, and she will make the dress for you. Talk about something of unheard of in today's times.
Right. I'll tell you, you know, you're absolutely right, because if you look at most online websites for women's fashion, they really have basic denims and basic cottons. They don't have anything that looks, I mean, this is kind of couture if you really look at it. There's great embellishments. Tina uses the finest fabrics. She uses the finest detailing and stitching. And, you know, she's really come up with something that's very unique, especially for an online store. And by eliminating the brick-and-mortar end of it, you know, you're able to save so much more money. She doesn't have to charge exorbitant costs for overhead. And in today's economy, that's really important. And, in fact, that's kind of how she, you know, she had been thinking about doing a line for a long time, but she was waiting for the right time. And when the economy kind of took a downturn, she realized that this was her chance to get in, because she noticed that a lot of women, even her wealthier friends, were starting to cut back on, extra expenses. And so, you know, that's how WannaWear was born. She realized that, you know, women are not going to skimp on what? Beauty and fashion.
Yeah.
Correct?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, no matter what, you know, everybody wants to look good and everybody deserves to look good. And so, you know, she created the line. With the idea behind it that women are going to want to buy a beautiful dress, something that they can be proud of and look great in without breaking the bank. We always say it's clothing designed with your budget in mind.
Yeah, no,
right.
Absolutely. Yep. And everyone's heart and mind, too, because she's reachable. She's a real person, and, you know, she knows the real woman. She
absolutely.
Even though she's a former runway model and all that stuff that goes with, you know, that industry and so forth, she, you know, I'm not afraid to go, yeah, okay, I'm a size 10 right now, and this is my hip measurement and my chest measurement and everything, and, you know, and will you work with that? And
exactly.
And it's not embarrassing or anything,
well,
yeah.
Let me tell you something, too. You know, it's great that you brought that up, because here's kind of Tina's philosophy. A lot of her designs, if you look on her site, they're kind of reminiscent of the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And these were eras where women really dressed. You know, they dressed to the nines to go to lunch. They dressed to the nines to go to work, to go to, you know, a cocktail party after work. And those were eras when women's bodies were celebrated. You know, and again, nowadays you see all these sticky models walking down the runway, but that's not what real women look like. Real women have curves. Real women have, you know, nice bust lines, and their hips are curvy. And that's what a woman is supposed to look like. Women are supposed to be curvy. They're supposed to celebrate that, you know, because that's what men love about women. And, you know, her line, you know, she's so precise at how she designs. Mainly it's cottons, but she uses spandex with all of her cotton. So when you put one of Tina's dresses on, they fit like a glove. And what they do is they hold in what you want held in, but then they let everyone see the beautiful silhouette of the woman, which, you know, and that's what you want shown off, you know. So with her designs, she's not trying to hide women's femininity and women's curves and women's silhouettes. She's trying to show it off to the world.
Well, and that is really great, because I don't know if you heard what we were talking about earlier. We were having a conversation about fashion, and, you know, when we think of the word fashion, we think of you have to wear a lot of really uncomfortable undergarment, make something look right, and it's usually really expensive, and that's one of the reasons we like her work, is because it eliminates that. It really allows you to get a beautiful outfit and keep it simple.
Right, right. You know, and another great thing about Tina's stuff, if you look at a lot of her dresses, they're fashion forward, but they're very appropriate for the office. And what's great is, you know, I know a lot of women here in Los Angeles who wear her dresses every day. In fact, two of our anchor women here in Los Angeles, one on the Fox News Channel, Christine Devine, she wears Tina's dresses at least 2 to 3 times a week on air. And another one of our gals from KTLA, Wendy Birch, she's on our morning show. She wears Tina's dresses. And the great thing about it is that, you know, with Tina, you don't have to wear a lot of Spanx and things like that women are wearing.
That's what we were joking about. That's the most uncomfortable stuff. And, I've been married for 12 years, and my husband doesn't really care.
Uh-huh.
But still, who wants to wear that stuff? You just don't feel sexy. And no
I hear women say, oh, you look so great to another woman. And then she'll go, oh, I have my Spanx on. And then they always give you a look like, ugh, I can't even breathe today. But, you know, her stuff, because of the spandex built right into it all, it takes care of what a Spanx would do for you anyway. So she has it all built right in. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, we gave
and then,
her...
you know,
oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, getting back to the whole thing with, you know, her dresses are appropriate to wear to the office. And then all, you know, a lot of women tell us all they do is they just change their shoes out. They get the pumps off. They put on some strappy heels. They, you know, throw a scarf around their neck or put on a little jewelry. And Tina's stuff, I mean, although it's conservative for the workplace, it's still sexy that, you know, you can wear this out in the evening. And so it kind of serves two purposes. So you don't have to go home and change.
That's great.
Yeah, we gave her the Best Ever You approved blue ribbon thing that we give out to companies that we really do genuinely love. And
we know that, and we're very grateful. We actually have that on the front of our website. And, you know, we're really proud about it because we know, you know, Elizabeth, I've known you now for quite a while, and we know that your site, you know, is about quality. You know, it's about quality, and it's about, you know, empowering women, and which I think is just amazing, you know, and you have so many resources for, you know, health and nutrition and fashion and beauty and, you know, just, you know, you really, really, you know, showcase the best of women. And so when we got that award from you, we put it right on our site, and we're very proud of it. We're very proud to, you know, to be, you know, part of the Best Ever You family, if you will.
Thank you. Yeah, and we're proud, too, as proud as we can be, because that we really mean that when we issue that award, that is something that we don't take lightly, because there's a lot of stuff that comes into my home for us to review. And Katie, some of it Katie reviews, too.
Katie knows. I get a lot of it, too.
and we really do sit at, you know, and if it's something that I can't use, for example, like a backpack came in, I'll give it to somebody who can use it, and they'll test it for me for a few months and let me know. So, I mean, we test everything, everything, and so it's really important to us, and when we give that award, we really mean there's something about this company, person, product, or service that's just absolutely outstanding, and what it is about her that we love so much is she's just absolutely refreshing. It's like a breath of fresh air came into the fashion industry where women can be women. You don't have to be 2 pounds or 0 pounds or a size zero. You can have a chest, you can have some hips, and you look absolutely outstanding in her clothing.
Yep,
beautiful.
And they're simple to wear. I mean, that makes a big difference, too. And I think one of the things Best Ever You are is they're simple. Mm-hmm. They're easy, because we all have complicated lives now. And
exactly.
We don't want to have to put on 6 different things to make something look good.
Right. Well, the other thing too, Elizabeth, which is great about Tina's, you know, is we keep talking about, you know, the challenging economy right now. And, you know, again, women do not want to have to settle for less when it comes to fashion. You know, women work hard. They, you know, the women are hard working in the morning to get the kids off to school, and a lot of women have to go to a job themselves. Other women who don't go to a job, they volunteer, you know. And so, you know, everyone deserves to look great without breaking the bank. And if you look at a lot of Tina's fashions, you know, Tina does have a lot of inspirations like Givenchy and Calvin Klein. And what she does is she looks at designs that they have And then she recreates her own design and kind of takes, maybe she'll take, you know, a lapel off another dress, or maybe she'll take some cuffs off another dress. And so she looks for other designers that are more well-known and that are very, very higher, you know, end priced. And she recreates. And, you know, the people who go to her site, they're not people, you know, who shop at lower-end stores. These are women who love to go to Nordstrom's and Macy's and Neiman's, but they just can't afford those prices right now during this challenging economy. And so her stuff, they're not knockoffs, but they're inspired by other pieces. And that's what's so great about it, because she kind of brings her own interpretation to her designs. And another thing that a lot of people love, especially in a tight economy, is all the wanna-wear outfits, they're all made here in the USA, which is very unusual. Everything she has, you know, obviously they get the fabrics from overseas, but it's all done, you know, on the East Coast of the United States. There's a whole team of, you know, workers that are American workers, you know, and people really like that aspect, you know, especially during the tough economy that, you know, we're employing people in this country with wanna-wear.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely with any kind of clothing right now, sometimes things just don't even fit right, look right, or are right. And this is just great quality. I mean, it's something unheard of in today's day and age. It's just really neat to see her do this. I have a question for you, and I don't know if I'm sure you know everything about her, so we'll ask and see if you can answer it.
Okay.
Do you know why she set out to do this? She's an interior designer from Minneapolis, a superb one. That's
exactly
how I know her.
Tina's background has been in interior design. She's designed some of the most beautiful homes in the Midwest, in Minnesota in particular. And the thing is she was kind of looking just to do something different. She was always one of these fashionistas, if you will. And Tina's always had a very extensive wardrobe. In fact, for years, she was kind of the go-to girl for all of her girlfriends when they had to go somewhere. They'd come over and she'd style them in her closet and put them together, you know, put them together so they looked great. And people would always say, oh, Tina, you know, you're so good with, you know, with interior design and with colors and patterns and fabrics. And you're also so good at fashion. Would you ever consider doing a fashion line? So enough people said it. So she kept thinking about it for a long time. And she, you know, then the economy kind of, you know, took a downturn, well, more than kind of, but so what she decided was, you know what, maybe this was her calling. Maybe her job was to seek a way that she could, you know, design beautiful, high-end, quality fabric, dresses and designs for women at a cheaper price. And so when she started doing all of her research, she pulled all the right elements together so that she was able to do it online and, you know, really, you know, bring the quality in without making people, you know, have to break the bank to look good. And so really it came out of a necessity where she saw, even a lot of her friends, Tina lives in Beverly Hills, and she noticed that a lot of her wealthier friends, they too are starting to cut back. You know, it's not just affecting, you know, the lower middle class and the middle class. I mean, you know, this economy is affecting everyone. And, you know, and I think a lot of people are just being really safe because, you know, we don't know what's around the corner. You know, we all hope optimistically that the economy will change, but, you know, it may be a while. And so, you know, even when, you know, women in Beverly Hills, you know, they're cutting back too, you know, times are tough, but with wanna-wear, Tina's able to give them what they want, and they don't, you know, they don't have to go to Neiman Marcus and spend $800 on a dress, you know, a dress similar in with the same quality and integrity on wanna-wear by Tina O may cost $180.
Yeah.
So that's kind of her whole idea behind it and how it all kind of got started. And it's just taking off.
Katie, are you there?
Yeah, I was just wondering, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is the vintage dresses. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So Tina, you know, again, a lot of her designs that she does herself, again, are from with influences from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And Tina loves vintage designer dresses and pants and skirts. And so what she does is she has feelers all over the country. She has people that are constantly on the lookout for her. And what they will do is they will find beautiful, you know, like Hervé Léger dresses, you know, from like the 1960s. And she has a whole section on her site that is dedicated to designer vintage wear by other designers. And some of it is just amazing. We, Eva LaRue from CSI Miami, we just recently loaned her a beautiful orange Hervé Léger from the 1960s, a dress that was just really cool, and she used it for a photo shoot that she just did. And so, yeah, the vintage part of it is really popular. You know, it's people get a little frustrated, though, because obviously it's vintage, so there's usually only one of each dress that she carries on there. So the vintage stuff tends to go faster. It goes out the door. And, you know, once it's gone, obviously it's gone, but what Tina's been doing is, because there's a kind of a, there's been some dresses that a lot of women have wanted to buy, so she has been kind of taking those as an influence and then designing them into her want-to-wear collection so that there's something similar on her site for the women who really happen to like a particular vintage design. But, yeah, that's another really fun part of her website, you know, that you can buy and find those really great vintage wares.
You know, one of the things I said, Anthony, knowing Eva a little bit, is when I looked at this website, I actually said in my head, that is so Eva.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, in fact, she just bought another dress out there. She had to go to some event that Jennifer Garner was hosting at the W Hotel in Hollywood. And she ended up buying one of the dresses, and I don't remember which one she got, but everyone had to wear pink, you know, in honor of breast cancer awareness. And so Eva had a custom-made pink dress made off of Tina's site. So, yeah. You know, we're getting the celebrities on the site, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no nicer celebrity than Eva LaRue.
Oh, she's a doll.
I had an interview scheduled with her for, I think it was, what did we set up, for 45 minutes, and we were on the phone for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
she's so cute.
Yeah, you know,
it's normal.
Too. I know, you know, we're going to just go on a thing with her, but
we won't.
Well, I'll just say this real quick because we were just talking about that. Eva LaRue just became the national spokeswoman for the Beckstrand Cancer Foundation, having come off 2 years. She was the national spokeswoman for the Ovarian Cancer Coalition. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's just I just like to say to all the women out there, give to cancer charities and organizations, because during trying times, charities are the first ones to go. People stop giving money, and we've got to beat breast cancer and ovarian cancer and every other type of cancer out there. So that kind of got off the topic, but I just thought I'd throw it in.
No, it's okay. We support anything, Eva. You know that.
We
love her, and we'll put that news up on the site too. So she's just what I love about her is just another normal, real, reachable girl.
Sure.
Not a snot or anything. I mean, she has no snot factor whatsoever. She's just lovely.
If you came out to Hollywood, I'm sure I could find you a lot of people with major snot factor.
That's our main term. You like that, Anthony?
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to say that I came up with it, if you don't mind. I'm teasing
you. Quote me every once in a while. No, just kidding. Well, Katie knows firsthand anyway about all the foundations and things like that. Katie runs Children's Palliative Care Community.
That's right.
And so always very important to give to charity.
Yeah, that's great work that Katie's doing. Katie,
thank you.
Good job.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other question I had for you is, you were saying she lives in Beverly Hills. When did she move from Minnesota, or is that a long time ago?
You know what? She
did
moved.
Did she go back?
I want to say like 4 years ago. And she always jokes that she says she went out to she came with her husband to Beverly Hills. They went to a cocktail party, and she never went back to Minnesota. She stayed, and it's kind of true.
That would happen to me.
Yeah, well, see, there you go.
I don't know how I ended up in Maine, really, but whatever. It's a whole other phone call. But it's beautiful out there.
It's beautiful in Maine too.
Yeah, it's. You know, it's different, and as far as fashion goes, you know, Katie and I were joking. We're not quite sure there is a whole lot of fashion going on here, and, you know, we were joking, and it's all in the circles that you run in and so forth, but can you tell us or share what your thoughts are on, is it okay to be in sweatpants?
Are you kidding? I know you, Elizabeth. You work so hard all the time for your family, for the community, for Best Ever You, for your kids, your husband. Absolutely. Put on those sweatpants. You know, I think personally, I believe that when you're at home and you're, you know, you're doing your thing and you don't have to impress anyone, you know, you're not, you know, entertaining or whatever, I think everyone should be comfortable. You know, women work hard and they deserve to be comfortable. And then I think, you know, at a certain point in the day, maybe you're going to dinner, or maybe you have to go to a meeting or something at school, the kids' school or whatever, then I think, fine, then you pull out your fun clothes to wear. But you know, I always think that women work so hard. And, you know, they deserve to be comfortable. You don't always have to look great. You don't always have to do your hair and makeup. And, you know, men don't care. Men, you know, men know that, you know, women will look good when they need to. And they know that women, you know, work hard and should be comfortable. So that's
well, and I think it makes it fun, too, when you hang out in your sweats, but then it makes it more fun when you get dressed up to go out.
See, there you go, that transformation. Then
yeah.
every woman can feel like Cinderella.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're just absolutely out of fashion, or what's the best way, you know, when you're sort of isolated in Maine and so forth, and, you know, fashion isn't the most, you know, forefront thought, how do you know what's really in fashion? What do you pay attention to know, okay, don't wear flare jeans anymore, or the heel has changed, or... Where do you go for that?
I'll tell you what's really interesting. And I work with a number of, you know, wardrobe stylists out here in Los Angeles. And I hear them talking about it because this question's asked a lot. And they say, you know what? Every season you need to open up your closet. Every woman should open up her closet and take a look. And you should pull out everything that you haven't worn in 6 to 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to look at all those clothes and decide what you can live without. Because remember, if you give something away, then you can go buy something back. That's what kind of the rule is. And so you should go in. If you haven't worn it for 6 to 12 months, chances are it's not something you're comfortable with. It's maybe something that's out of style. And a lot of other fashion stylists say, too, that women should really, you know, go pick up a bunch of the fashion magazines and look to see what the hemlines look like. Look to see if the pants are flared or if they're, you know, skinny cut. You know, look to see what the colors are for that season, you know, and then go back to your wardrobe and say, do I have stuff that fits into this scheme and this? And if not, then, you know, get rid of stuff. But, you know, women have to not be afraid to get rid of clothes. I know some women who have closets that are ridiculous, and you look in there, and there's stuff from, you know, 1978 that they still have in their closet that they're never going to wear. Hello. Donate it.
You know what I just did over the weekend? I had, in preparation for this phone call, I had a closet cleaning. Really and truly, I threw out 4 bags of clothing. Do you know how painful that was?
Good for you. Did you throw it out or did you donate it?
I donated it, sorry. But
good for you.
I didn't throw it out. And in fact, it's upstairs in the bags, and it's in the process of being donated because it's painful. But, I know. It won't go back in there, I swear, though. But how do you know? Oh, well, let me rephrase that. What are some things that you can buy that will never go out of style?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Are there such critters?
Okay, and this is right from Tina Hill, Tina O. Here's the, what she always says. Every woman should have a really fabulous white button-up shirt with a great collar, something very basic, because you can wear it with jeans, you can wear it with a pencil skirt, you can wear it with, you know, dress pants. But she says every woman should have a really nice white blouse, you know, button up.
Mm-hmm.
She said that's a staple. And the other thing is, too, Tina's really big on scarves. She has a lot of silk scarves and chiffon scarves. And the thing about a scarf is that, you know, you can tie it around your neck to accessorize. If it's long enough, you know, you can wear it as a belt to accessorize. Another thing that she does, too, is when she's going out the door, and let's say, you know, she just wants a little splash of color, and she's maybe wearing some jeans and some, you know, low heels. She says to grab your purse and take a fun scarf and tie the scarf onto the purse handles just to add that little splash. But a scarf can really do a lot for an outfit and really change it and really jazz it up. You know, and she uses scarves all the time as pool wraps when she's at the pool. You know, you just tie it around your waist and you let it hang in the back. And so that way, you know, if you're carrying a little too much in the bottom and you don't want everyone to see it, a scarf can really hide that. So that's what she's always talking about, the white blouse and the scarf.
See,
Elizabeth,
you missed it, Anthony. I'm so glad you said that because
uh-oh,
I was talking. We were talking earlier about fashion, and Elizabeth is always giving me grief about wearing scarves because she thinks it makes me look like an old lady. And see, I really, see?
Yep.
You just proved
you
wrong.
See,
you know, I
see,
never said
you're a trendsetter. You didn't even realize it. No, that's great.
That's hilarious. But I never told you they made you look old. I would never say that.
Oh, yes, you did. You said you're only 40, not 60. Or you're only 50,
well,
not 60.
Now, ladies.
No. But I think it could be, I always was taught from my mom, it's really interesting that you say that because, again, Katie, it's role modeling, I'm sure. Because I was always taught from my mom, take the scarf off. You don't need it. Isn't that interesting?
That is
it's so funny. I just thought of this when you said you thought of your mom. My mother, God rest her soul, she was like a teenager in the 50s. And it's so funny because I don't know about you guys' mothers, but my mother had about 100 purses with a pair of matching shoes and a matching belt.
That's my mom, too.
It was that era where everything matched. And I remember when my mother passed away and she had a sister who – you know, had the same purse for 3 years and never changed it out. And all of a sudden she inherited all these shoes, belts, and purses, and she was just so overwhelmed. And we just laughed because that's the way women dressed, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
They always had that matching. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was always just in a suit and heels, purse match, and hair very Marilyn Monroe-like.
Oh, wow.
Just impeccable. You know, my mom was Miss Bloomington and Miss, you know, a whole bunch of things. And my mom's really beautiful. She's 65 and you'd never know it.
She's young though.
5'10".
65 is young now.
Oh, she is. She's just absolutely gorgeous. And it's neat. So, Katie, what were you, other than scarves? No, just kidding. What else did you want? What else? There's going to be scarves hanging on my door now. My trees are going to have scarves.
Oh, I'm so excited. Now I can go get my scarves out, and I can come out of the closet with my scarves.
There you go.
My question is, what is Tina O thinking about now for the future? What are her ideas? Does she have any plans for her company? And
The site's doing well, you know, and so she's starting to get a lot of traffic on it, a lot of sales and stuff. And, you know, what she really wants to do is she wants to just, you know, keep designing. And, you know, in 5 years she'd like to see it where all she has to do is just do the designs and then send them to her seamstress to put it together. But right now, you know, obviously with any startup company, she's doing so many aspects of the job. You know, she's helping to update the website. She has a web guy, but, you know, she does a lot of it herself because that's just how she is. She's a workaholic. She works 24/7. But I think eventually she'd like to see it grow to a point where she can, you know, have some other people take some of the other duties because all she really wants to do is just design. I mean, she can sit down and she can design, you know, literally. She'll take one dress and she'll variate it and we'll sit there and watch her sketch. And in 3 hours, she will have 30 versions of that dress sketched. It's just, you know, some people's minds think that way. And she's one, she can just sit down and she can just keep drawing and variate it. And it's mind-boggling to watch. But I think, eventually she would just like to design and not have to do all the rest of the end because she's a very creative person. And so,
when you sit down to design something, what is that process? Is it sewing or is it sketching? And how does the sketch go to the dress? And how does that brain work exactly?
I'll tell you, You know, watching her, it's very interesting. And again, it comes with her interior design background. We have been together where we've walked into a restaurant and there was fabric on a chair. And Tina would just sit and stare at that fabric and stare at it. And then all of a sudden, she'll go home. She'll sit down right away. She'll draw a sketch of a dress. in that fabric that was on the chair. It's very interesting how she can see
the
something.
Chair missing?
No. She doesn't steal that chair. She'll order something like it. But yeah, I mean, she can take a look at something, or she could see a woman walking down the street in a dress, and Tina will say to herself, her mind thinks like, hey, I really like that dress, but I would like it more if, you know, the hemline was a little lower, and if, you know, if I could do a V-neck collar instead of, you know, a crew neck. And I mean, that's just how she thinks. And she goes home and she sits down immediately, and it's just, it's all sketching. She just sketches. And then, you know, once that sketch is done, she sends them to her partner who works on the East Coast, that literally, you know, cuts the pattern, and her team puts it together and sews it up. But yeah, I mean, with Tina, it's just, you can just see her eyes, you know, her mind moving through her eyes, and, you know, you can just see her looking at something, and she comes up with, you know, just great ideas. But it's funny how she looks at furniture, and she's looked at wallpapers in, you know, restaurants and in other people's houses. And from looking at a wallpaper, she says, oh, I have a great idea for a dress. And I said, from wallpaper? But she does. I mean, you know, and it's just, it's that constant, you know, working in that creative field, you know, where color and, you know, design and fabrics and texture, it's just how her mind works.
Huh. Will it always be dresses or anything else? Or does she just love dresses?
Well, she, you know, she has skirts on the line, and she also
has tops.
But her thing is with the dress, as Tina says, you know, that, you know, it's just an easy thing. You know, women can slip into a dress really quickly and, you know, go out the door. And so all of her stuff, you know, most of her stuff, again, you know, it's that cotton with spandex. And so you can just really slink into it quickly. And then, boom, almost all of her stuff has a zipper up the back. And, boom, you can just go out the door, you know, because she doesn't like to be so fussy when getting ready.
Yeah, I've never loved dresses until now. I've spent 41 years on this planet despising dresses.
You?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. I never can find... I'm so short that, you know, at barely 5'3", I never can find anything that fits right everywhere.
Right.
And I just... I just think she's absolutely nailed it perfectly with what she's doing. The dresses are beautiful. And that's the other thing I can never find either is I'm a real, what if I, given a choice to wear a dress, it will be something vintage. I don't know why, but my head goes to, I must look like Jackie O. It's probably my mom or something like that.
Well, you know what, but that's a great look. It's classic and it's fun.
I love that. Yeah.
Well, you know, and again, too, in, you know, besides the vin, you know, the section for vintage, you know, a lot of her stuff, which I can sure you realize, you know, were inspired by Jackie O. They were inspired by Grace Kelly, and she just kind of, she loves those eras. It's funny too. A lot of people say, oh, it's like her stuff looks very Mad Men. You know, the show Mad Men.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of her stuff does, but there's always a variation with her stuff, so it looks a little modern, but it has that, you know, kind of vintage hint.
Yeah, and I just love that whole look. I'm of the opinion, you know, pull your pants up, boys, and girls look a little bit more dressy, and, you know, I love that look, and I never can find it when I'm shopping. I can sometimes find it, like, in a sheath type of dress, but I always want to put on gloves. I don't know why.
Well,
I wish,
you know,
gloves would come back.
Exactly. You know, and Elizabeth, too, I know, like, a lot of women, when they go to, when they look at her site, they say, oh, this looks really great, but without being able to try it on, you know, I don't know how it's going to fit. But again, because she uses that, you know, cotton and spandex blend, once you put it on, almost on everyone's body, especially if you have nice curves, it's just going to fit you like a glove. And so there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of problems with fitting. And, you know, you just have to do your bust, waist, hips, you know, and height, and, you know, put it into the computer when you're ordering. And most people get them, and very rarely does it not fit. Very rarely.
Which is great, because mail order, oftentimes people are hesitant because you don't know if it's going to fit, and then you have to send it back. And so if you're going to do it, I mean, there again, it's much more convenient. And now it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I am so thankful that you called in.
Well, and I'm so sorry that we missed Tina, but you girls have been lovely, and I'm so glad I did call in myself.
Yeah, very much.
And we'll just reschedule for a different day when she has some time or whatever, and because our fans just really, really loved her.
great.
That's the most entries we've ever had in a giveaway by light years.
Awesome. That's great. And you know what, too? And I know that we had, I think we told you that any of the best ever you readers or listeners or whatever, that you guys, the code, can I give the code for them?
Yeah, give the code. Yeah, we've
yeah.
10 seconds
left. Yeah, so if any of your readers or your listeners, if they go to wannawearbytinao.com and they do order something, if you put in the promotional code DOLLUP, D-O-L-L-U-P, DOLLUP, we're going to give your people 15% off of everything they order.
Oh, great.
That's just for the best ever you people, because you guys have the best loyal readers and listeners.
Great. All right, well, thank you so much. And,
thank you, lady.
Our show has ended, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks
have a great
so much.
Day.
All right, you too.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.